Hallelujah. Let's go to Joshua 12 and 26. Amen. I think Brother Chris is going to teach you young men. I don't know. He said something about having your class. So there he is. All right. You know, that's Brother Belshi. Stephen's probably about old enough to get there with Brother Chris, I think, now, huh? Get him with those boys there. That's Stephen. I don't know if you knows how that boy's growing up. Lord, have mercy. Brother Belshi told me his son's wearing a size 12 shoe. Lord, I only went 12 grades, and I got out of high school. His brother Valentine told me what Brad said one day. I said that people were bragging about, I graduated magnum cum laude. And another one said, I graduated, what's the other one? Summa cum laude. And Brad said, I graduated, thank you, Lordy. Thank the Lord. Joshua 12 and 26, thank you for coming to Sunday school. Amen. I'm always welcome to see people the second part if I don't see them the first part, but I'm thankful for those that come for both parts. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will I honor. Him will my Father honor. I want to use that little phrase, if any man serve me. If any man serve me. Lord, I come before you for this Sunday school lesson. Teach us. Teach us your ways, Lord, that we may take what we know and turn that into the wisdom that confounds the wisdom of this world. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for being with us here today. We ask your blessings upon this service in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If any man, you may be seated, any man serve me. Previously, Jesus called his disciples and he would say, if any man come after me. That was the calling card. Follow me and I'll make. He did not tell Peter, James, John, come serve me, right? He just said, follow me. And he offered them a little hope of something, right? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, they didn't really know what that meant, but it was better than what they were doing to them. Hey, let's give it a shot, you know. And so Jesus was not really offering them much, just the unknown of I'll make you fishers of men. But now after a while of people, of disciples coming and disciples going and multitudes have been following him for quite some time, he kind of changed the tone and the dialect of what he was saying from saying, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me, deny yourself, take up the cross. And he kind of changed it a little bit to saying, if any man serve me. See, we're in chapter 12 of John. He's already picked up a lot of disciples and so forth. He's already got his 12 apostles. But he says, if any man wants to serve me, then he must be where I'm at. If any man's going to serve me, then he must follow me. And he must follow me so close that where a master is, his servant is also. That's just the servant-master relationship. And notice that Jesus did not say that if any man serve me, I will honor him. I will bestow him. He'll get my inheritance. He'll get my kingdom. He'll get any of these things. He said, you won't get anything from me. He said, my Father will honor you. The one that sent me, the one that I serve will reward you also. Are there any servants in the house, right? Are there any servants in the house? We find out this morning what true servitude is. And the Father, of course, was the Spirit of God. He's saying, if you're looking for me to do something for you on earth as a man and a kingdom and a throne, you're wrong. My Father or the Spirit will be the one that knows the times and the seasons, and he's the one that gives the rewards. And I begin to study for this lesson, and you've heard this term devout. You ever heard that term devout? You normally hear it like he's devout Catholic. You've heard that many, many times, right? I've really never heard anybody say he's devout Pentecost. You ever heard that? Devout Baptist. Devout Methodist.
But for some reason, they look at the Catholic denomination and say they're devout Catholic. And it's said, I'm not belittling, I'm just saying why they say that. They say that because they're there every Sunday. They say that because they tithe regularly. They say that because if there's a funeral, they're there. They say that because they are so persistent in what they believe. Why don't they say that about us? You see, this word devout, now listen close, this is Sunday school, right? I want to teach you something. This word devout means to be dedicated by vow. Maybe that's the reason. Dedicated, devout, dedicated by vow, not by, well, I'm going to try this denomination. I'm going to try this church. I'm going to try this marriage. I'm going to try this relationship. No, it's dedicated by vow. Devote. Devout. It was Jacob that was one of the first ones that made a vow to the Lord, right? So from then on out, he was a different man. Why? He was devout. He had a vow in place. Samson broke his vow. And look what happened to Samson. The Bible says it's better to never make a vow than to break it. So people don't make them because they're scared they're not going to keep them. That's baloney. You will never get anything from God without making vows to Him. And if you break them, there's something called repentance. But you have to be devout in what we do. And it's not just going to church, just reading your Bible, I pray with my kids. It's not about that. Devout means I make a vow to this, no matter what, good, bad, ugly, ups and downs, no matter what happens, I'm here. I'm with you. A devout servant doesn't expect anything out of his master. He devotes his life to the master. He devotes his life to serving him. What can I do for you today? Not what am I going to get out of this. What can I do for you today? What do you need me to do today? And so when we look at devout in the Bible, we see just a few names mentioned. Now, the actual meaning of the word is there's a lot of devout men in the Bible. But we look at devout men. We look at Simeon was a devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel, right? That's what the Bible said. And he held the infant Jesus, meaning he was dedicated. Where would you find him? If you want to find Simeon, where do you go? The fishing hole? If you wanted to find Simeon, where are you going to go? The temple. Because he had vowed to give his life to Christ or to God at the time. And little did he know his devout days paid off. He held the Christ and said, I can die now. Let thy servant go in peace. And so you look at other men in the Bible that's mentioned devout. It was those that buried Stephen. It said devout men buried him with much mourning. Why does it mention these devout men burying him? Because there was so much trouble going on at the church at that time, they vowed to take care of the church and the business of the church. And even though Stephen was what? A martyr, right? They still were so devout that they buried him in the sight of all these people and let it be known we're going to take care of his body. Devout men. You look at Cornelius. What did it say about Cornelius? He was a devout man. He was devoted to praying, to giving his alms and all this. He still needed something else, which we later learned he was the first Gentile to receive the Holy Ghost. But devout people are all about serving others. You see, these names I mentioned, they were devout to serve others. And when you expect to serve someone for a reward, you just broke the vow. You just broke the vow of why you're supposed to be devout. And it skews your reasoning of why I'm a servant or why I did all this for him and I didn't get nothing out of it. You know, I've been going to that church once in a while and they never did that for me. Well, you're not devout. Devout's not about what somebody else does for you. It's about what you do for somebody else, not expecting them to do anything for you. Now, are there any servants in the house? See? So when we look at people like Joshua, he was a devout man. And the Bible says that Joshua was Moses' minister. Moses' minister. A minister is to administer. It is to give to someone. It's like the Good Samaritan was a minister to that broken man on the side of the road. He administered to his needs. He gave him what? All that he had, right? And he said, if he owes any more, I'll pay it all. And he didn't say, hey, when you get well, I like 5% interest on my money, you know. That's not devout. Devout is a one-way thing. And so Moses did not elevate Joshua. But yet when you look on the mountain when the Ten Commandments are given, who's there? Joshua. When they're fighting in the battle and Moses has his arms up and someone's down there fighting, who is it? It's Joshua. And Moses didn't say, oh, mighty Joshua, oh, you people hear me. When I'm gone, Joshua will be your leader. He never said that. Because Joshua was Moses' minister. He was there. Can I do anything for you today, Moses? Let me carry those Ten Commandments. They're awful heavy. What can I do for you today? It was a one-way thing. And so what we find is that when Moses died, the father that sees in secret will reward you openly. So that when Moses died, he spoke to who? Joshua. And he said, Moses, my servant is dead. My servant is dead. You were his servant, right? Moses, my servant is dead. And now I will magnify you in the sight of the people. That's what happens to devout people. Now, if Joshua would have been sitting back and saying, boy, when Moses is gone, I'm going to take over. I know how to do this way better than Moses does. Just let me at it. Let me tell you, God knows that. And he will never reward that. Never reward that. And then we look at two men I want to talk about a little while. Of all the stories in the Bible, I do think I like Elisha and Elijah the best. I mean, there's so many great lessons that you can learn about these two men. And so we see that Elijah is despondent, and he was Elijah had a spirit about him that was unbelievable. It was just unbelievable. He was a mighty, mighty prophet. And so he didn't mind confronting anybody, kings and priests, it didn't matter. He'd tell them. I like that about him. But then he finds himself needing to be ministered to. And so he finds himself in his cave, and the Lord says, look, I'm not through with you. I want you to go find one Elisha to fill your room or to take your place. So he goes out, and he finds this plowboy, and he's plowing. And the Bible says he was the 12th. He was just doing his normal job. He wasn't seeking to be a prophet. He wasn't even in the sons of the prophet or the school of the prophet. He was just doing his job, and I'm sure, Brother Johns, he was doing it well, just like you have this yard. Brother, you have done a wonderful job. He's retiring this year, I think, from the yard business, but I think we ought to give him a hand. He has done a wonderful job, as well as Brother Charlie, maintaining this premises here. It always looks so nice. And so we find him just doing his job and doing it with all of his heart. He's devout to what he's doing. And here comes this man of God, and he's got this mantle, and he just throws it across him as maybe it just passes by. But when that mantle hit him, there was a spirit that hit him too. And that spirit was the spirit of Elijah. It was the spirit of being devout. It was the spirit of being a servant. It was the spirit of being humble. And so when this mantle hit him, the Bible says that he left his oxen and he ran after Elijah. He said, let me go and kiss my mom and my dad goodbye. He said, I want to follow you. He didn't say, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. If you follow me, you're going to get a double portion. I'm going to show you something here. See, we always thought he followed him waiting for the double portion. Not so. Not so. I'll show you that. But I think it was, anybody ever heard of Dolly Parton? She's in the Bible, isn't she? Okay. Pardon me, she's not. But something she said one time, and I can't remember if it was Porter Wagner. Anybody heard of Porter Wagner? Okay. And she was interviewing for a job. I'll just say it was with Porter. And she went to interview for this job, and Porter looked at her and said, you know, like, what do I have to do with thee? What do you want? She said, I want to work for you. He said, you have the job, because everybody else said, I want a job. I need a job. You said, I want to work for you. Big difference. And look where she's at today. Right? And so it is, Elisha said, I want to follow you. I want to serve you. And he went back and he slew his oxen. You know what that is? Devotion and consecration. I could preach that for the rest of my time about devotion and consecration. He took what he had to make, you know, if you're not coming back, what do you need it for? Right? What we find is Peter said, Lord, I won't deny you and all this kind of stuff. And then we find him, he's in a boat again. When he said, I go a fishing, well, he must have still had a boat. Consecration and devotion is when you have nothing to go back to. Nothing. Because I'm devoted to this. And so he showed his consecration and his devotion by going back, kissing his mom and dad goodbye, and he slew his oxen. And the Bible says he went after him and watch, and he became Elijah's minister. He became his minister, and he ministered unto him. Now you would think that it would be Elijah ministering, right? Somehow we got this backwards, because here it is, the weaker is ministering to the upper, and the upper is not necessarily ministering to the weaker. But we want the stronger to give, minister, when it was back then, what can I do to help you minister? What can I do to help you be more effective prophet? What can I do to ease your burden today, Mr. Elijah? Instead of help me. This thing must be backwards. I don't know. I don't mind being the host, but I don't want a perpetual parasite either. I mean, after a while, even Jesus had angels ministered to him. Woo. And so we find here that there was no promise of a double portion when he said, I'll follow you. Right? He didn't tell him at that time. So I want to pick this up at 2 Kings 2:2 and show you this. And Elijah said unto Elisha, now he's only following him. He doesn't know anything about his future. Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. Me, he sent me. He didn't send you, he sent me. You stay here, I'm going. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they, everybody say they. They went down to Bethel. I am your servant, and I agreed to follow you wherever you go. Let's go. Well, and verse 4, and Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they, everybody say they came to Jericho. And Elisha said, verse 6, unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave you. And they, too, went on. Wow. And Elijah took his mantle, verse 8, and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, that they, two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, oh, if you'll just be devout. And it came to pass as they were gone over, and Elijah said unto Elisha, see, here it is. Ask what I shall do for thee. I've always in my mind thought, well, he asked that real early, and then, I'm just going to stick around and get that double portion. Lord, I ain't leaving you now because I want that double. No, that's not what happened. He was devout, not knowing that he would ever get anything out of this man. And it came to pass when they were gone over, Elijah said unto Elisha, he said, what shall I do for thee before I am taken away from thee? And Elisha said, I pray thee, I admire you so much. I just want to be two of you. I just want your spirit. Let a double portion of thy wealth, let a double portion of thy power, let me part waters. Let me be praised by all the other prophets. No, let thy spirit, that spirit of devoutness, that spirit of humility, let that be upon me twice what you have. Woo, hallelujah. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and they talked. They're helping each other. They're ministering to each other. Hallelujah. They talked. And behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father. Woo, see, Jesus is saying, I won't do it for you, but I got a father. It's the spirit of the father. It's the spirit of the father. He wasn't his natural father, but he saw him as the spirit of the father that gives. What father don't want to give their son something? My father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, I see the vision you had for Israel. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. I'm no longer the same man. Who am I now? Who am I now? Ooh, I'm not the same man. I saw it. I got the burden. I got the spirit. Oh, I'm not the same as I used to be. And so he took up the mantle. This is that same mantle while he was plowing. Whew. That same spirit that caused him to go home and kill the oxen and the asses and same spirit that said, goodbye, mama, I'm going to follow that man. He's got that same spirit now to follow God. Like Elijah followed God. Mantle of Elijah that fell from him, he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac? And no, he didn't say that. No. Where is the Lord God of my father, my mentor? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha, no they, no they, Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, see, God began to magnify him now. See? And when the sons of the prophet, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. And they came and met him and bowed themselves to the ground before. I'm telling you, there's an order of doing things. Wow. So the spirit of Elijah did not give earthly things. It gave spiritual things that you could better serve God and serve God's people. And too many people in this life today want to follow you because they want something out of you. I don't mind staying connected to people. I really don't. I like to help people and I like to minister to people. But you know, you can get drained yourself if you're not careful and no one's building you up. And so it's clear that Elisha was not following him for the double portion. He was following him to serve him. Let me say this. Elijah was only pulling out of Elisha what was already in him. It was already in him. I have learned I can change no one. I can't. I've tried. I've learned that the Holy Ghost don't change people if they don't want to change. They'll be doing the same wicked things they were doing and claiming to be saved. What ministry does is pulls out of you what's already in you. So that Paul told Timothy, he said, I do stir up the gift that is in you. So all we do is stir you up to see what's in you. I don't know, you ever painted before? Sure you have. You let that can sit too long, you better shake it up. You better stir it up, even while you're painting. I notice good painters, they don't let it sit long, brother. They're stirring it again because it settles out. And all they're doing is stirring up what's already in there. And this morning, all I want to do is stir up the good things that's already in you. I want to stir up the gift that's already in you. And, you know, if there's some bad things in you, it stirs that up too. So in our text, I'm almost done. In our text, we find a troubled man called Jesus. And he's pleading with his disciples, saying, are you going to follow me? Verse 23 of that 12th chapter of John. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Well, that's probably like, hey, John, you hear what he said? Glory, the glory's coming next, buddy. I've been waiting for this glory deal. But he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it's glorious. It brings forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Then he said, my text scripture, if any man serve me, let him follow me. I like it that it's any man. It can be a king. It can be a pauper. It can be a contractor. It can be a doctor. It can be a lawyer. It can be anybody, a yard man. It doesn't matter. But if you're going to serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also my servant will be. You see, you find out who your real servants are when you're troubled. He said, I'm troubled. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You know, the problem with this generation today is they don't like delayed gratitude. They don't like it. It's got to be instant gratitude or I'm leaving. I'm not staying. I'm not studying. I'm not doing anything unless it's instant. I'm worried about my Social Security check, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I'm going to get it or not. He said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah? See, he hadn't even got there, and he already knows at what he's going to say. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into or unto this hour. So we have a troubled man. Listen closely. We have a troubled man who's saying, my servants will be with me. And he's troubled. When trouble hit, Peter left. Though others forsake you, I won't. He left. You find out who the devout people are when you get to the cross. Mom's there. Mom, of all people, is there. Mary Magdalene is there. The one whom seven devout, and another Mary, and John is there. About four or five people out of feeding 5,000 and 4,000 on another case. You find out who's devout when trouble hits. Yes, you do. Amen. Devout people will be there to the very end. Then verse 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Christ has now found himself between the glories. Between the glories. He had glorified him in birth. No other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. What a glorious name was given that day. There's many parallels you could read to glorify it again. But just stay with me. He glorified it when he announced the name. It was kept secret forever. Now he's going to glorify it through his death. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. But he finds himself between the glories is a cross. You can't go from glory to glory without trouble, I'm sorry. Nor faith to faith. There's got to be something in between. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You see, he fed 5,000. He turned water into wine. He raised the dead. He was serving them. But on the cross, he said, I thirst. And there was nobody to serve him. Ministries both ways, my friend. They too walk together. You can't drain your ministry. I'm not talking about me particularly. I'm just talking about you can't drain and drain and drain and drain and drain and not give anything back. It works both ways. So that on the cross, the greatest minister of all said, I thirst. I'm thirsty. And there was no man. They gave him vinegar, gall to drink. Where are my servants? You find out who's really with you and who's not really with you when trouble hits. Hallelujah. Do you have any servants in the house? Thank the Lord. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. Hallelujah. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. And give thanksgiving unto him. Oh, hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not looking for anything on this earth. I just want to serve the Lord. Amen. Be devout in everything. Take a vow and serve the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Take a quick break. We'll come back for morning worship.